Welcome to the University of Coruscant. As part of your enrollment here, you have access to the attached Holonet recording. You've selected a lecture by Dr. Sunny Ravencourt on Ancient Sith. You've selected a lecture by Dr. Sunny Ravencourt on Lord Vitiate. If you have any questions about this lecture or wish to contact us, please visit universityofcoruscant.com.
Hello, students. As you can hear, I am still not back on campus at the University of Coruscant. Filming on the set of Tauntaunado has been interesting, to say the least. But I'm still alive, which is more than I can say for every other character I've worked with. Best I can tell, my character is pretty much the kiss of death for whomever I work with. It's like a never-ending sea of Tauntauns and dead characters.
And Womp Rats.
Well, Todd, the Womp Rats that are still in my trailer aren't supposed to be there, are they?
They're very shrewd negotiators. We're lucky we got the side with the door.
I thought Mon Calamari were supposed to be good at politics. Anyways, I'm starting to piece together the plot of the holodrama, too. Most of these are shot out of order anyways, and for some reason there's only one copy of the script, which is starting to really have a number of food stains on it, so I only read what I have to out of it. Sounds like some sort of Tauntaun experiment was taking place on Hoth to make them smarter, and then a tornado blew the lab apart and spread them all over the place. I'm really not sure where the plot goes after that. Anyways, we've just arrived at this particular set for today's shoot.
Excuse me, sir. I'm gonna need to see your badge.
What? I don't have a badge? Since when did this place get security? Why are you carrying that disruptor rifle?
There's been a series of food thefts recently. I've been hired to eliminate the culprit with extreme prejudice.
What are you talking about? You are a security guard. Who do you think you are, some kind of bounty hunter? It's probably the Womp Rats that live in my trailer.
They're shrewd negotiators, sir.
Todd! And you can't just go around disintegrating people.
Oh, yeah? Who's gonna stop me? Nailed it. Okay, what'd you think of that? Was it convincing? I'm trying to become an actor, and I found out they were shooting here, so I thought I'd just show up. I mean, this isn't even a real rifle. See?
Jeez!
Oh, God. Oh, okay. I thought I just paid too much for a fake one. Oh, it's a good thing I didn't pretend to shoot you kind of like I was planning to.
Yeah! Good thing! Get out of here, you maniac! I'm gonna die on this movie set, and it's not even in the script!
You haven't read the script, sir.
Well, if they printed more than one, I might have. Just hang on a second. I gotta catch my breath. You know what? I mean, this scene can wait. I'm gonna do a lecture, and I'm gonna make a little money before I die of a heart attack. Okay. Todd, is the holocam running? You know what? I know it is. That's too embarrassing for you not to have caught it. Okay. 3, 2, 1, let's go. What if I told you that if you wanted to live forever, you could? You could continue to exist for 1,000 years. You'd watch everyone you loved fade into time. But that wouldn't matter, because you wouldn't just live for 1,000 years. You would rule the galaxy from behind the scenes. Would you do it? All it would cost you is the life of every single being on an entire planet. Or maybe a whole system. Or maybe that's not good enough still. What if you could become a god, and all it cost you was the life of every being in the galaxy? Now, I don't really expect an answer, because that kind of calculus is not designed for our brains to comprehend. How do you add up all the life on a planet? And what kind of monster would destroy it all for their own gain? Well, let me tell you the story of the immortal Emperor Vitiate, or as some would know him, the Sith Emperor. It all starts 5,113 years before the Battle of Yavin. Sometimes my stories start slow. That is not the case here. A pureblood Sith on a planet called Medrius, on the edge of Sith space, was born and given the name Tenebrae. He was the illegitimate son of a local lord, Dramath, and a poor farm woman. The baby didn't cry, didn't show any emotion at all, and his pure black eyes scared even the animals. These are not good signs. At age 6, He witnessed his stepfather angrily confront and hurt his mother for her affair with Lord Bramath, and, well, all of that darkness that everyone knew was inside of him, it came out. What they didn't know was how much darkness was in there. The answer was immeasurable. Instead of taking it out on his stepfather, which he did, he didn't just stop there. He systematically used dark force energy and the fear around him to quickly take over his village. He tortured his mother for betraying his family for months. And with every fearful scream of a villager, he grew more powerful. Over the next 4 years until the age of 10, Tenebrae conquered and dominated village upon village, growing a legion of fanatical followers. So, of course, he attracts the attention of his true father, and Tenebrae basically obliterates him. Dramath is absolutely no match for this 10-year-old in the power of the dark side. So I think we're starting to get a picture of what raw power looks like. Man, this is going to be a rough lecture. This guy is... he's not good. After getting bored with the planet Medrios, which was undeniably under his control at age 13, he travels to the Sith homeworld of Zaios to meet, you guessed it, Marka Ragnos. Ragnos was always a good judge of talent, and here's where we get our first name change. Ragnos says, sure, you can rule Medrios, and guess what? You're a Sith Lord now, Lord Vitiate. So Tenebrae is now Lord Vitiate, and he goes back to Medrios, and he renames the planet Nathema. He rules it for about 100 years, growing stronger and stronger in the dark side. Remember how we said that a lot of historians believe that an ancient Sith would smoke a modern-day Force user? Yeah, this is the kind of stuff that we're talking about. Ragnos eventually gives up the ghost, in his case literally, and there's a power vacuum at the top. And this is where I want to pause. When I started researching Lord Vitiate, I wasn't too keen on him. After finding evil stacked on evil, I started thinking that this wasn't a sentient being. This was a plague. I like my Sith to be clever because they have to be. Students, here's a life lesson. Selfish people are clever by necessity. The Jedi can rely on others to boost their power through trust, but Sith can't do that. So the really good ones are clever, finding ways to get to the top without anybody else's help. But Vitiate didn't strike me as clever. He was simply pure, unfiltered evil. Until I learned this. Remember in our lecture on Marka Ragnos? When Ragnos died, Naga Sadow and Ludo Kresh fought for the throne? Vitiate could have absolutely challenged, but he didn't. He waited for his moment, and that moment came. When Naga Sadow and a good portion of the Sith were defeated in the Great Hyperspace War, Vitiate acted. He summoned 8,000 surviving Sith to his homeworld of Nathema. Now, I don't know if they knew this at the time, but they were about to be candles in a 10-day ritual. Vitiate, through some serious Sith sorcery, wow, say that a few times. Anyway, the sorcery, which was a result of all his study, snuffed out and absorbed the life force of all 8,000 warriors and every living thing on the planet and became immensely powerful. Oh yeah, and immortal. And now he was known as, second name change incoming, the Sith Emperor. At this point, I think it's fairly clear that I was mistaken with my earlier assessment of Vitiate, now the Sith Emperor, because what he does next is classic Sith leadership. He convinces the remaining people of the Sith Empire that they need to look for the planet Dromund Kaas. So, they all get into ships and make an exodus from known space. He leads them through blind hyperspace jumps into the unknown regions for 20 years before they finally find the ancient Sith planet. Here's the best part. The Sith Emperor knew where it was the whole time. He was just making his followers more and more dependent on them. That's a fantastic long game for an immortal being. When they get there, he rebuilds the Sith Empire and gathers strength for 1,000 years. If you're immortal, there's not a lot of upside left, right? I mean, other than being a god, which is ridiculous, but hey, you've come this far, let's give it a shot. So the Sith Emperor decides to try his previous trick of absorbing life force. but he wants to turn up the dial to 11. Now, I really shouldn't joke. I want to be absolutely clear with this. He wants to absorb every living thing in the galaxy to become a god. In order to do that, he's going to need a lot of chaos, because with chaos comes instability. And after the Jedi trounced the ancient Sith in the hyperspace wars, he needs a bit of that before he reveals his rebuilt empire. So he convinces the Mandalorians to start the Mandalorian Wars with the Republic. Instant chaos, courtesy of our T-shaped visor friends. Side note, this is when the Mandos become really good at killing Jedi. During this time, the Sith Emperor notices someone in the Force, a Jedi Knight by the name of Revan. He subtly manipulates Revan and his apprentice Malak to find the Sith homeworld, and like loth cats in a hedge maze, they show up at the Emperor's doorstep. He twists Revan and Malak to his will and sends them back to fight the Jedi. It didn't work out well, and Revan came back to try to kill the Emperor, which would soon become a recurring theme. But if you're immortal, you've got tricks up your sleeve. And the Emperor became a being of Force energy and transferred his essence into a few different bodies to protect himself from death. He survives, takes a couple centuries to bandage up his empire, and then starts his own war, called the Great Galactic War, most famous for the sacking of Coruscant and the subsequent Treaty of Coruscant, a copy of which I have framed in my office. After Coruscant falls, the Emperor thinks that it might be a good time to begin the whole god-making ritual. Unfortunately for him, his new conquests weren't as stable as he thought, and a joint effort from the Jedi and the Republic cast him out. Revan tries again to kill him, but fails. So the Sith Emperor retreats, and guess what? He spends another couple centuries rebuilding his power, only this time he's got a new face. At this point, he has mastered essence transfer, making him the object of jealousy for a lot of Sith in the future. Everyone tries essence transfer after this, with almost no success. He finds a fairly robust little empire on a planet called Zakuul and takes over a body. Third name change incoming. He becomes Valkorion, the demon savior of Zakuulian prophecy. Valkorion, who used to be the Sith Emperor, who used to be Darth Vitiate, who used to be Tenebrae, builds what's known as the Eternal Empire, and they are good. Not good in the moral sense, but good in that they get off to a really fast start and take control over a fair chunk of the galaxy. But this time, Valkorion has a few loose ends, namely, children, three of them, and one of them, by the name of Arkan, betrays him and takes the throne. The spirit, of course, endures, but this time can't escape from his family and is finally snuffed out of the universe. And there you have it. So much of this story is cobbled together by historians, and most of it is frankly just legends passed back and forth over too much Falusian Manguese lecker and not enough calf, but that's the story. A child who rose to power, became immortal, and single-handedly shaped the galaxy through war over a 1,300-year effort to become a god. Whew. Todd, you know what? That was so exhausting that I don't even want to go to the holoshoot today. Tell Francis, the director, that I'm going back to my trailer because I was, well, nearly disintegrated by some wannabe bounty hunter lunatic.
You can't go back to the trailer, sir.
Seriously, they're gonna be fine with me not on set for 4 hours. I'm sure I just stand around while somebody else dies like every other scene in this Tauntaun nightmare.
It's not that. It's the trailer you can't go back to, sir.
What? Why can't I go into my trailer?
The Womp Rats are having friends over from 1 to 3 this afternoon.
Todd, I am going... You get back here, you fish!
This concludes your selected lecture from the University of Coruscant. For all questions or to contact us, please visit theuniversityofcoruscant.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Sunny Ravencourt, and the legal droids behind me... No, I'm not going to say your names. They want me to remind you that if you've enjoyed this show, please subscribe on iTunes and YouTube and leave a review or a comment. It helps us out tremendously, and it allows the university to continue to provide you the best in Star Wars history. Are you going to pay me for another take? Well, then I'm not going to do one.
This podcast is part of the Red 5 Network. For more Red 5 Network podcasts, visit red5network.com.